Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass.
Driven with SunPass.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Busy day around Everbank, the introduction and the signing, then the introduction of newly acquired free agents. Four signed with the Jags today. There could be more in the hopper.
Well, really five, counting Mercedes Lewis.
Yes, if you want to count Mercedes. We'll get to all these guys coming up and what the next step could be. And we'll look around the National Football League as well. What's up, guys? What's up, Logs? What we got?
Busy day.
Yeah, a lot of money going out here today.
Busy day. The phone, or my phone, getting alerts all day long. You know, and that's a good thing, you know, because I got it set to where you get Jaguar alerts from the Jaguars app.
It's a free app.
Yeah. And so I got the alerts, and all of a sudden my phone was just buzzing left and right today, and I was like, good, that's what I like to see. I expected that app to be able to buzz me today. Good stuff. I like it.
Yeah, they got better today. They're a better football team at this moment than they were, I think, at any point last year. Because the defensive guys they have, are they where they need to be yet? No, I don't think so. I think, you know, I think you're still going to see them make some moves. We mentioned Robert Ayers, you know, whether it's him or another rotational defensive end, a guy who can, you know, come in and pressure the quarterback.
Some depth.
Depth.
Got to have depth.
I think you're going to see depth at linebacker. I think you're going to see them try to go get more speed on the field. And then I wouldn't be surprised at the corner situation. You know, whether they hit any of those, not sure, but I think they're going to try. And then I think the fun thing is going to be, once the dust settles over the next few weeks, is how does this affect the draft? And what do these signings mean for the NFL draft coming up at the end of April?
Well, you hope that it affects the draft instead of going, okay, we need to fill this hole, let's take the best player. I mean, that's the perfect world. I mean, when you can draft – worried about position of need.
So best player. So if the best player was the left tackle, Larry Tunsil, you take him. Yeah, that's interesting.
Take him. You know, because, I mean, if you go back and you look at Dave Caldwell's draft, his first 3 years, what has it been? Need. And he said he's a needs drafter. But in a perfect world, you'd like to get away from being a needs drafter and being a best player drafter.
Yeah, I don't know if I guess. I always think, as a football team, you always have needs no matter what. You're never going to fill every need.
No, but you know what I mean.
Be a complete,
like, there's certain positions on your team, like, look, you don't need a quarterback, so you're right. Not going to go draft a quarterback, you know. But at least it gives you the flexibility that you can take the best player in a pool of needs.
You're not forced into one.
Right.
I agree with that. So it'll be interesting. I think it's a lot of fun. Listen. The biggest free agent story this year to me is how much money is going out league wide, and
because the cap went up $12 million
and the guaranteed money.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's not, and it's it went up, and there's a lot of money out there.
Good year to be a free agent.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yes. I mean, you look at a guy like Olivia Vernon, who I know we went after and tried to get in
By the way, the guy
is going to be the third or fourth highest paid defensive player in the league at $17 million a year, over 50 guaranteed.
Yeah, and I was looking at his numbers.
He had 7.5 sacks last year.
You compare his numbers to J.J. Watt.
It's not even close.
To Wolf.
Not even close.
In Denver, you know, and you're like, really? I mean, and so it just goes to show.
He's a good player, don't get me wrong.
It just goes to show that, I mean, if you're a player, you always need to get to free agency to maximize your value. Or to overinflate your value, I think is the proper way to say it. Because, you know, I mean, if you were putting together a pool of assigned values to every position on your team, you know, these guys in free agency have exceeded it. And that's just the way it is. I mean, that, you know, and, you know, at some point, you know, 2 year down the road, 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, people are going to say, man, why do we pay this guy all that money? That's what you have to do. In free agency, that's the way it is. And so if you're a player you got to get to free agency to really get the value that you really have earned, or more than you really have earned. And J.J. Watt, Derek Wolfe, I mean, they're sitting back going, what did I do?
Forget J.J. Watt, because he's the high – I mean, he still makes a ton of money.
Yeah, but take your pick.
But could you imagine being Derek Wolfe, who just signed a deal a month ago? Why he didn't wait for free agency? I guess he didn't want to take the risk.
I mean, especially with the way that their roster was set up, and knowing that Von Miller, the quarterback situation,
why
Malik Jackson – What did his agent tell him?
Well, I guess, I mean, you read the report. He says, I didn't want to leave Denver. I wanted to take care of it.
Fine, but still go to free agency and then
– And take care of it.
Yeah.
I mean, basically what he did.
Stay in Denver when you get to free agency.
I think he got 25 guaranteed, 20, maybe 30 guaranteed. Malik, what did Malik get?
42.
Yes. So I think he had 25. Malik, I think he had left $17 million. And so for $17 million – he took a month of risk out of the deal.
It's an expensive month.
It's an expensive month. It's a lot of risk. Not much risk tolerance at that point.
A lot of pesos to not wait.
But, yeah, so, listen, I'm glad that however it works on the other end of the hall, across the hall, with Dave Caldwell in the process, I'm glad they set some limit with Olivia Vernon and decided not to match or even try to go to a certain level.
Well, did they actually decide not to match?
It was interesting. There's a story today. Peter King had the story about how it all went down from Vernon's perspective. They've been following Olivier Vernon during free agency here and in talks with his agent and him, Olivier himself, that he was on the phone with the Giants. That was the first call. And Gus Bradley was trying to get through on the phone. And by the time he got off the phone with the Giants, Olivia Vernon said, no, I'm not even going to talk to Jacksonville. Took the deal.
I don't think it was an even money type situation.
Jags had like
well,
a year on their offer, and they ended up coming down another year to match the get close to the offer. But I don't think it had anything to do with the offer. I think it had to do with the market.
It's
and
not
the
what I was. That's not my understanding of it. Some of the research I've done.
Okay.
So I think there was a limit set, and I think the Giants exceeded it, and that was it.
There you go.
That's my take from it.
Sure.
And the Miami Dolphins now will receive a third-round compensatory pick, more than likely, for Olivier Vernon since they removed the transitional tag. You know, and they had no chance. I'm trying to figure out where the Miami Dolphins – I mean, I know they restructured Ndamukong Suh's contract, but, I mean, they're throwing some money around. They've got an offer sheet out now to C.J. Anderson, the running back in Denver. And they went out and signed.
Well, they got rid of
Mario Williams for
– right. They restructured Ndamukong. They got rid of Brent Grimes, their corner.
Which
that
probably
freed up a little bit.
Best thing that ever happened for the Miami Dolphins. And you want to talk about a bad situation now. Brent Grimes with the situation with his wife and
– Miko.
Yeah, not good. And here's the thing. Who's going to take him? Who's going to want that headache? I mean, because his wife was very vocal and criticizing the organization, the quarterback.
Can he play?
Yeah, he can play.
Somebody.
Oh,
he's
very
really
good
player.
Yeah,
somebody will take him.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But here's the thing.
At some point, I mean, it caused such a divide in the locker room at Miami. It was like a major issue, like in the
major
locker room.
Major issue.
I don't think it. I think his wife is costing him a lot of money.
Millions. Millions. You know, she had the issue outside the stadium, I guess, that
got arrested
with police.
Yes, that's right.
You
she,
know, the
she
social
was on Twitter.
Media
she
thing
shots
she
at
said.
At the locker room, at the coach, at the quarterback, at everybody.
I mean, come on.
I mean, Brent Grimes, I'm not for divorce and not trying to promote anything, but at some point you got to say, baby, you either got to shut up or you got to go. Because
millions,
you're costing us our future here. This is what I do for a living.
We'll come back and break down the Jaguars signings today, including Malik Jackson and Tashawn Gibson, how that changes the look on the Jaguars' defensive side. SunPass is a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
really was one of the main guys we targeted going into this, and just felt like with his versatility, and as you guys know, our struggles on third down last year, he's going to bring an element of disruption. You know, not only on third down packages, but his first and second down pass rush skills are something that we kind of craved last year, and we look forward to getting him on the field. And he's a versatile guy. He can play all along. He can play as a six technique for us. He can be our 4B at times, and obviously our three technique. His role won't be much different than what he did in Denver, to be honest with you. The way he lined up is, you know, he'll line up in very similar situations here. He'll be able to be a little bit more aggressive and off the ball for us.
Dave Caldwell earlier today discussing Malik Jackson. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli, Malik Jackson, $90 million contract reported.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, it's like 85 with the possibility to bump it up to 90.
Good for him.
God
bless America.
Really good player. Free agency. Really good situation. You know, the timing of growing within that organization and getting better every year, which he did. And then having Super Bowl win at a time when the Super Bowl winner has other players that are reaching free agency at the same time, and he's not the best of the bunch. You know, as far as on that football team, it was Von Miller. I mean, the timing in the situation was absolutely perfect for Malik Jackson.
Yeah, and the best thing is he should thank Von Miller for not signing a long-term deal before.
Because he would have gotten the tag. He would have gotten the tag.
He had about six family members with him today, his grandmother, his mother, his girlfriend.
Where's he from originally?
From California, like L.A. area, yeah. I believe. And they're all still there. And it was cool to see all them there today, too. The guy was a fifth-round pick. I mean, it wasn't like he was a high draft pick, worked his way up. And really his breakout game with Denver was against the Jaguars in 2013. He had a couple of sacks in that game. That was his first big game in the NFL where he played very well. Had like eight tackles that day, I think. And then it was from there on, it was consistency from there on.
Well, he's a long, long dude, 6'6", long-armed. Yeah. And that's why he has such versatility, not just the three technique, but the six or the four.
Yeah, but you look at
that. No, but he's a three technique.
He's a three.
No, I agree with that. But, I mean, that length, Jeff, he can do a lot
flexibility.
Of things. Yeah.
But where are you going to put him at to be able to have the most success is at three.
What does that mean for Sin?
It means he's going to be rotate, you know. And
it means on third down, they're both going to be rushing the passers, which is perfect.
You know, well, yeah. I mean, and it may be Malik Jackson, Sendarek Marks, Ryan Davis, and
Dante Fowler.
I mean, you know, you put all four of those guys on the field at the same time. But, you know, with Sendarek, I mean, you think about it. I mean, ACL, you know, coming back from the ACL last year, now coming back from the triceps. You know, that's, you know.
Significant injuries.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that it's, you know, the door's closed, but I mean, those are significant injuries. That's why last year I kept saying that I wanted to see Odrick play the three because, you know, you couldn't expect Sendarek to be back at a healthy level, you know, and I was saying, what, November, I think is what I was originally saying, you know, the first week of November, something like that. And then even when he got back, when he did, he wasn't the same player. The knee wasn't completely healed. You could see it. He had a gait and a step. He wasn't using that knee to push off. Now, I'm sure that has gotten better, but now he's got to overcome the triceps injury, which, you know, a bicep is, you know, if you had your choice between a tricep or a bicep, you'd rather have a bicep injury because, you know, the tricep is used on everything that you do on the football field. The bicep is used a lot, too. But, you know, significant injuries, you know, and this will allow them flexibility, you know, and he's a player that can play multiple spots. And look, here's the deal. If he's playing the three and Sendarek is back and healthy, Sendarek can play the 4B, you know, or Sendarek can play nose, you know, played nose in Tennessee, you know, so you can rotate guys
in
different
positions. You can't have too many good defensive linemen. I mean, listen, there are certain positions. You, in my opinion, load up on. D-line's one of them. Secondary corners are another one. You can never have too many. Offensively, I mean, you can't have too many good backs. I mean, you can't have too many good offensive linemen. It's hard to find. I mean, you look at the O and D-line. Let's focus there. It's hard to find good big people. There's only so many people on this planet that God made who are big, athletic, and can play the game of football. There's more little guys who can run. I'm not taking anything away from the receivers, running backs, or DBs, or anything like that. But there are only so many people on this planet that have the size that Malik has, or an Audric, or any of those guys has, that can play football. And so you get as many as you want, as you can. I mean, I don't think you can ever. And that's why, you know, if they go into the draft and they decide to go with Joey Bosa, great. Can't have too many big guys who can rush the passer. I'm not saying that's the pick. Miles Jack, I don't care who it is. What this team needed on defense, guys, is good football players.
Yeah.
More of them. Didn't have enough. I think they got more now.
Malik Jackson, the biggest contract in Jaguars history, certainly today. Deshaun Gibson on the back end, free safety. We talked a little bit about him earlier. A guy who has ball-hawking ability, a lot of interceptions, a lot of return yards off those interceptions, too. It's something this back end of this defense has just been unable to take the ball away.
Well, they've been talking about it for a number of years, and they've tried to do the two safety system to where you're rotating guys that are box players in the back end, and
it hasn't worked.
It hasn't worked.
That's right.
You know, Cyprian is a better box player. James Sample is a better box player.
Are we sure what he's better at? I mean,
we don't know for sure. But here's what we do know. He's not a lights-out speed guy to play center field.
Well, that's what they thought he could be, though, when they got
him. I just know, and I said this all the way back last year at training camp, that and I'm going to stick to this, once he gets healthy and he's on the field, that I thought that he is a guy that's going to compete with Cyprian, and he may win.
He might.
I just don't know. He's got better ball skills from watching his college tape.
But he hasn't been out.
But that's all we have to base it on.
Okay. I agree with that.
You know? But will that hold true in his NFL career? We don't know that. Just like we don't know what Dante Fowler's going to be.
Nope.
You know, we don't know if Dante Fowler is going to be this great player. You think he is because he was a great player at Florida. But you can't assume and sit there and say, we're okay at that spot because we have Dante Fowler. I think you make a mistake if you go into the season saying, he's our guy that's going to be our Leo all year long, and we're okay there. I think that would be a huge mistake. Because what do we know about Dante Fowler? I don't know.
Not a lot.
I don't know.
No, he's a freaky athlete.
Same thing we know about James Sample.
No, I disagree with that. We know more about Dante Fowler. Dante Fowler is a freaky athlete, top three pick in the draft, that was a man-child, one of the best players all of college football. And you look at him, and you're like, okay, this guy's different. I don't think you say that about James Sample.
No, you don't physically. No, from watching the college tape.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna. That's not fair. I'm just trying to Dante Fowler.
You know, my point is that we haven't seen anything.
Agreed with that.
At the pro level, you know, so much like James Sample, but obviously coming from different categories.
That's right.
You know, at the college level, you sit there and you say, well, you think, but you don't know. That's a big difference between thinking and knowing.
Let's flip it over the other side, offense.
Yeah, I'm surprised about this one a little bit.
Chris Ivory.
Yes.
Why are you surprised?
He's a 28-year-old back. I'm glad he's here.
Are you surprised they didn't go for Forte instead?
I'm surprised that I would have gone after – my number one would have been either Martin or Lamar Miller.
Well, Martin got re-signed by the Bucks, right?
Yeah, but not until – it was after free agency started.
It was after the signing of Chris Ivory.
Yeah, it was after. So I would have gone after one of those two first, only because of their age. No other reason. I think Chris Ivory, he's only one of seven backs that rushed for 1,000 yards last year.
And he's got low miles, though.
He has low miles. He's 28 years old.
He does bang a little bit, too.
And he's a banger. He's,
yeah.
And the reason I would have probably gone Lamar Miller before any of them, because he's a change of pace guy, speed guy, air back. I mean, gives you a different dimension than TJ. Where, now, with that said – I loved Chris Ivory last year. Love his style. And I think he brings some violence and toughness to this team that it needs on offense. He'll bring that, his attitude. And so nothing against him as a player. I was just surprised more than anything at 28 with how the running back market is what it is right now that he got as much – the deal he did.
What did he get?
He got over 6 years.
Six, yeah.
Okay.
Which I'm happy for him. God bless you. I hope he's a heck of a player. He deserves it. I just know backs are so undervalued – and maybe unfairly in this league now, that it's hard for those guys to get paid sometimes the way they deserve it. So I think he's more of a short-term fix than maybe a guy like
and that's
a,
okay.
Fine. No, I'm fine with it. I mean, but like Gibson and Jackson are younger players, 4 years out, second time. This is their first second contract. I mean, this is their second contract, obviously, just finishing their first one. Chris Ivory's been on the Saints, been on the Jets, 28 years old. He's been banged around a little bit. Not a good, bad, or indifferent, just a short-term deal. But I love the toughness he brings and the physicality he brings to the team. It's desperately needed on this football team.
The way he runs and the way he makes certain plays as far as being physical and running guys over, bouncing off of guys, that creates energy. You know, and I think that that's what Tony's talking about, yep. about what that's going to do for the offense. I think that's going to be a big boost.
I think, and if I was a betting man right now, Chris Ivory will be your starting running back. I think he's a guy.
I think so.
He's a guy that plays better with the more carries he gets outside when he plays the Jaguars. So maybe that's a good thing he signed it because he had 23 carries, 26 yards.
With two touchdowns. Two 1 yard touchdowns.
But my point of saying that is, he's the guy you need to give the ball to 20 times a game. He is that type of back. And listen, ride him when you got him. He's 28 years old. How long is he going to be here? We're not sure.
Get your money's worth.
You know, keep TJ, who's great on third down, great out of the backfield, great hands. Not that he can't run the ball 10 to 15 times a game as well, because I think what this team wants to become is a, you know, 55 pass, 45 run type of team. More running. They didn't run it enough last year. But I would just guess – now, T.J. Yeldon, this might motivate him, and he might come out and just be a beast. And
hey, look, he's – well, wait a minute. He's you know, here's the thing that works. You know, when T.J. was out of Alabama, J.P., you know this, mm-hmm. what did he do? He rolled in with other backs.
That's right.
I mean, it ain't like this is –
Oh, no, but I'm saying – I just think – but every guy wants to be
sure.
the guy.
Sure.
I'm just thinking, based on the running style and the way – Chris Ivory runs the ball, Jeff. I think he'll end up being your starter.
I agree.
Different styles, though, obviously. Totally different. Well, because TJ is not a run-you-over-first type of guy. He's a shake-you. And if then if he has to, he'll put a shoulder.
If you're a defender, you better pay attention to what jersey numbers in the backfield and how you have your quote-unquote tackling plan. Because if you approach Chris Ivory like it's TJ Yeldon, you're going
to
get trucked.
He'll try to kill you.
If you approach T.J. Yeldon like it's Chris Ivory,
he'll make you miss.
He's going to make you look stupid.
Now, the one thing they still don't have in the backfield is a breakaway guy.
Yeah. Where do you find that?
Draft. Well, and I mean, I don't want to say that this is the guy, but, I mean, the guy that they got from Auburn last year has super
Grant.
Speed,
yeah,
you know. And, but, I mean, you know, can he be that type of guy?
I don't know.
He's got
great. Denard can he can run, but he's got to hold on to the ball.
And he's got to perform on special teams.
A lot of questions still in the backfield. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses in Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. What's next for the Jags in free agency? That's next on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Jaguars Thursday continues. Free agency. The new league year. Happy New Year, guys, by the way. New league year.
Happy new league year.
Yeah.
How about the Oakland Raiders?
How about the stocking up, huh?
Oakland Raiders spending some jack
for Jack. Jack spending jack for Jack. That's going to be quite a scene. We get to see them this year, too, here at Everbank.
Yeah,
well,
that's
they
a
got
good thing. We
Bruce
go
Irvin.
There.
Yeah. They got the corner, Smith, Sean Smith.
Yeah.
Just today.
Kansas City. And,
older guy.
And then who else?
Got a guard, too.
Assembly.
Assembly. Colecchio Simile, which I had to learn the proper pronunciation, believe it or not, from Vaselli.
Yeah, you said it five different ways during the game. We
appreciate
got it right.
That's the only pronunciation the only you've one ever had to correct me on.
That's right.
Next wave for the Jags, though.
It's never happened before, but that time I was like, Jeff's really struggling.
Yes, you got it right.
Like, holy cow.
Plenty of names out there rumored to be around the Jags. Ayers, Amukamara.
I read somewhere, is Ayers taking a visit or has taken a visit here?
He was with the Bucs today and was coming in for a visit, yes.
Supposedly was going to be going to Miami afterwards.
And then screw you guys, we're going to
change of plan. Instead of going down to Alligator Alley across the state, he took I-4 through Mousetown, supposedly on the way here.
I'm sure he didn't drive.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I would.
Would you?
Yeah.
So if they had a jet pick you up, you'd drive?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. How'd that work when you were a free agent? I mean, did they fly you down here?
Yeah, fly commercial.
Yeah. Did you get first class at least?
No. No, I didn't.
Come on.
I didn't.
I even got first class.
Did you?
Yes.
You were in the back with the chickens.
Yeah.
I was a college kid and they gave me first class.
I was in coach. And
you need to talk to your agent.
My flight was delayed. I remember my flight was delayed leaving Dulles, Washington National.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to get here like at dinner time to have dinner with a couple of the coaches. Ended up getting in late. And Matt, what's Matt's last name?
I don't remember.
He was one of the scouting guys. He worked in the scouting department, and it was a total interrogation on the way from the airport.
Cub picked me up, I think.
11 o'clock at night or something like that. And took a ride and ended up going staying out in Ponte Vedra Inn and Club.
Remember how dark it was out there? There's nothing out there.
Well, there was nothing, but here's the thing that I get there at like 11.
No food.
Nothing.
Yeah, I remember.
I'm starving.
Same thing with me. I got there late from L.A. I'm like, can I get some food? They're like, the room service closed. There's not a restaurant.
There ain't nothing.
Like, I'm came from L.A. He was in New York all these years. I'm like, what do you mean nothing's open? Like,
there's a Waffle House?
Like, not in Ponte Vedra.
I would have been fine with an All-Star Special at Waffle House.
Anywhere. Yeah. But I was like, I'm like, there's nothing close by? Like,
and so I'm
nothing.
Thinking, you know, this is pretty cool. I think I'm staying on the ocean because when they drop me off, I could hear it, right?
Yep.
I could hear the ocean.
You stay at the lodge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wake up the next morning, and I'm thinking, well, at least I'll be able to maybe see a sunrise. No, the pickup call was at dark. Picked me up at like 6 o'clock.
Tom wanted you to get going.
Yeah. So I never even saw the ocean at all. At all. And ended up having lunch with Dick Duran, John Pease, Steve Szabo across the river over there, River City Brewing Company.
Yeah.
And met with Tom in the trailer. Stadium was under construction. Had to put on a hard hat to get to the trailer. You know, talk to Tom, and I didn't even get to have dinner. You know, I was out of there that afternoon. You know, so I didn't even get fed properly.
So you were still being recruited at that point.
Yeah,
and they had to talk you into it, and you signed before you left town.
No,
you didn't?
No. It was the negotiation process was still going on, and I had to go to Hawaii. I was a player rep for the Jets, and
that's
so went to Hawaii, and then the contract was executed in Hawaii, and Coughlin was pissed because he expected me to leave Hawaii immediately and get here to work out. I'm like, he's crazy. I'm not leaving Hawaii to come back and lift weights. I'll see you next week. He didn't like that.
Other offers?
Yeah, I had an offer to go back to New York, and I had an offer to go to San Francisco with Pete Carroll. And even money in New York and here. And San Francisco was less. They're trying to, you know, sell you on.
Win a championship.
Yeah. Which was, I mean, it was enticing.
Which you wouldn't have, though. Because they didn't
They didn't end up winning. So I made the right decision. Got farther into the playoffs here in Jacksonville than I ever would have done in San Francisco. And it was George Seifert was the head coach at the time. Pete Carroll was the defensive coordinator.
They'd won the year before.
So.
Beat San Diego.
They were back in the playoffs, though, right? No, in 98? They were. That was the T.O. catch game against
the Packers.
No, they're
in the playoffs pretty much every year until later.
Yeah, right. But they never won the whole thing again, right? Yeah.
George Seifert couldn't sell you the best thing in the world that cost you a dollar. Terrible. He's terrible. I mean, in free agency, George Seifert, he would never attract anybody. anybody.
Well, there you go.
I don't even think they want me here.
Hope they flew you first class. That's a long trip.
I don't remember.
All right. Next pickup for this team, what should it be? What position?
I would go – so – the reports are Ayers is coming to town.
And what would you, if you're Dave Caldwell?
And they're interested in Nakamura too, right? Yeah. Is that the rumors?
That's the rumor.
So we don't know if it's true or not, but it's the rumors. They don't tell us anything.
Pick one position. You get one position.
The rush end.
Rush end?
Because I want depth there because, you know, I think Dante can do it, but I'm not sure.
And I would say the exact same thing, but it could also be an auto type who can be a rusher.
Okay.
You know, any type of guy that can bring something from the edge and providing more speed at linebacker would be great.
How about on the middle? Like a behind Puz type of guy?
No.
No?
Not yet. That's later.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a priority at all.
No. Nope.
Speed on the edge.
You need speed at linebacker, too.
You need edge rushers. You need edge rushers, and you need another guy on the outside.
I'll say this. The one thing you do need at the linebacker position, you need someone to get Puz off the field on third down. Puz needs this year to be a
transition
to the next level. He needs to be first and second down, Mike. He's very good at that still. Gosh, he's good at that. But it's time to get more speed on the field on third down.
A more instinctual player in coverage.
Yeah.
You know, he's fast enough. Paul's fast. But he's not an instinctual, fluid player in the passing game.
He's not fluid.
He's not bad. Don't get me wrong, because a lot of people think that he's bad. He's not bad. But he doesn't play like Telvin Smith can play on third down or second and long. You know, but if he has to be that guy for this year and you get better guys and pressure up front, that's okay. I mean, Paul's made plays in the passing game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Tony's right. I mean, a guy that can rotate as an edge rusher is what this team needs. That's why they were willing to go above their comfort range with Olivier Vernon, is because the need for that with this team. I mean, if you just look at it from a roster standpoint, Clemens is gone, Andre Branch is gone, and both of them should be gone. But that's two positions right there that you need to try to fill. And who can fill that right now? Well, there's a lot of people that could fill it at the level that they played at.
Well, yeah. I was just saying.
Okay. But you want to be able to fill that role with somebody that can obviously do it at a better level.
Well, your two Leos on the roster right now are Ryan Davis and Chris Smith.
And
I like Ryan Davis,
Dante
and I'm not
Fowler.
A big fan of Chris Smith.
Fowler, yeah. I'm talking about guys who played last year who's still on the roster.
Yes. Yeah. I like Ryan Davis.
Ryan Davis, though, is a core special teams guy. Spot Leo. I mean, you need a true backup Leo in my opinion.
We'll see what happens.
I mean, you have Dante, then you need a Robert Ayers type player.
Who's out there? What I'd like to see the free agent list besides Ayers of a guy that could be an edge rusher. I don't care if he's a Leo, an edge rusher.
We'll find out when we come back. Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. We'll look around the National Football League after this. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
One thing about me is I pride myself on seeing the ball and getting the ball, man. And that's one of the things that I want to make wanted them to be able to say, hey, man, if you want to utilize me for my abilities to be able to cause turnovers and be of that resource, then, you know, that's where I want to go. And one thing that they told me is they're going to let me be me. They're not going to ask me to do too much. That's out of my game. They're just going to let me play football and let me go back to playing football the way that I know I can play at a high level. You know, and albeit, you know, God willing, injury free, I feel like this is going to be a huge year. year. You know, and a guy like me, the way I pride my game on, when you got guys like Fowler coming back, Malik Jackson and Audric and guys like that on that line, and you know, whatever guys they add throughout the draft and the free agency process, I mean, I'm just sitting back there licking my chops, man. I might have another 6 or 7 picks this year.
Deshaun Gibson calling 6 or 7 picks.
I love him. I love it. I love the attitude, the confidence / arrogance. You have to have that, to be in this league and to be successful. And I love it.
Check out
Hope he gets 10 picks. It's great.
Absolutely. Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. Jaguars Thursday continues. That's Tony Buscelli, Jeff Logman, J.P. Shadrick. Before we went to break, we wanted to talk about the top remaining edge rush.
Yeah.
You're going to pay off the tees, basically.
Throw some names at us.
We're paying it off here, Tony.
We're going to play GM, okay, and you give us a pool to pick from.
Okay, this is from NFL.com, the defensive line position players remaining.
Okay.
Chris Long is the top, according to them, the top remaining defensive end.
I would absolutely kick the tires on Chris Long.
As would I. I think he brings toughness, a working man, you know, can rush the passers, you know, 7-8 sack guy. You want to know something funny? Go look at the numbers of Chris Long compared to Olivia Vernon. Tell me who has better numbers the last 4 years.
Yeah, but the last 2 years?
No.
Olivia Vernon.
Last year, yes. And I don't have Chris Long's numbers right in front of me, but pull them up real quick, JP.
Yep, stand by.
The last 2 years.
No, last year was bad. He was hurt. Yeah, yeah. I think the year before, though, Jeff.
Yeah, four sacks over the last two
years. 2 years. Okay, so he's hurt 2 years in a row.
2 years in a row. But the 2 years before that?
But kick the tires on.
Yeah. He's 25 years old, right? No, what is he?
No.
How old
no,
is he?
No,
older than that?
No, he's 30.
Yeah,
no.
I apologize. Eight seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 30.
Robert Ayers is next on their list.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go down defensive end. Greg Hardy is out there.
No.
No.
Cedric Thornton. Nope, he's signed. I apologize. Junior Gallette.
Junior Gallette, coming off of the torn Achilles, has a little domestic violence whipping.
Got a little history.
Of the throwing, like whipping a belt around or some kind of thing on the beach. No.
Akeem Hicks?
Yeah, Akeem Hicks is the, is he from
New England.
New England. End. I'd look at him.
Four seasons. Young.
Yeah, I'd look at him.
Yeah, kick tires on anybody. What else you got?
Jarvis Jenkins. Crickets, apparently.
Crickets. What else?
Running out of names, boys. I'll be honest with you. Mike DeVito.
No.
Marcus Dobbs.
No.
Jason Jones.
No.
Dusable. That's it. That's all the defensive ends on their list.
Slim Pickens.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, and I saw that Chris Long was visiting, I think, the Redskins, the Giants, kind of the NFC East. You know, he grew up in Virginia, so, you know, NFC East kind of closer to home. His dad's still living in Charlottesville, you know, be closer to the East Coast after spending time. That was probably the best thing that ever happened to him, not have to move to L.A. But I would absolutely kick the tires on Chris Long. Here's the one thing.
If he's healthy, you're going to a guy who plays really, really hard. And has
you're gonna give it, he's gonna give you 100%.
And has sack ability. Go look at the first 6 years. What did he average the first 6 years of sacks?
Almost about 8 or 9 a year.
Yeah. I mean, the guy knows how to rush the passer.
You know, here's the danger in shying away from somebody who's had a couple injuries towards the end of their career. There's a number of them that have been able to keep on playing and play well.
And guess what? That's 2 years of not a lot of wear and tear because he hasn't played a lot of football.
No. Nope.
What about the guys who haven't after that, though? There has to be a history of that. Right?
Yeah, but I mean,
you're not going to pay a bunch of money.
$7 million a year.
Take a chance.
You know, incentive laden contract.
Absolutely.
You know,
I'd take a shot. I'd pick Robert Ayers first, but I'd be looking at Chris Long.
Absolutely. First and second down, Leo, all day long. If he's healthy. That's the key.
Are you going to give me the numbers or not?
I'm looking them up. I mean,
or if he
want?
Can be healthy.
Jeez. I want the first 6 year numbers of Chris Long.
If I remember right, he had like 50 in the first 6 years, if I remember right. And then he had 2 years, so years 6 and 7. His first year, he didn't do much.
Are you ready?
You got him.
Yes.
You ready, Tony? You ready for this?
2008, 4 sacks, 32 tackles.
That's his first year.
2009, 5 sacks, 33 tackles.
Okay.
2010, 8.5 sacks, 27 tackles. Mm-hmm. 2011, 13 sacks, 31 tackles.
Okay.
2012, 11.5 sacks.
Okay.
2013, 8.5. And then 14, 1 sack.
So it's 15, basically 49.5 sacks. In
54.5 is the term.
No, before 49.5.
50.5 in 6 years.
Yeah. Right.
Four in 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah. So he's an 8-sack year guy.
Yeah. Which, if he's getting closer to healthy, absolutely take him.
We'll see what happens. Ayer is rumored to be in town. We'll see what happens. Let's look around the National Football League. Of course, the Jaguars aren't the only busy team in free agency. We'll get to those.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could just no one else could get free agents but us?
That'd be really nice, actually. The Houston Texans have locked up Brock Osweiler, $72 million over 4 years, a $12 million signing bonus, $37 million guaranteed. Is he the answer in Houston?
Boy, I give them credit. They needed a quarterback. They obviously, where they are drafting, didn't feel like they could get one out of college. And really where the team is, they need to win now, because that defense, sooner or later, if you try to bring a young quarterback in, might not be ready. I mean, he might be ready to win when the defense is ready, which is right now. Osweiler, listen, proved he can win ball games. Is he going to be a franchise guy to put the game on his back? No. But he's mobile, he's athletic, has a big arm, and he played in big situations for Denver and found a way to get it done at times. So I applaud it. But right now, he's the fourth best quarterback in the AFC South.
And they did what they had to do. But the Houston Texans, and I think 5, 6, 7, 10 years from now, you know what they're going to look back on?
Why did we draft Jadeveon Clowney and not Blake Bortles?
Yes. That's what they're going to continue to look back on.
I think they're saying that right now.
Yeah. I remember Seth Payne last year went on the radio with Seth, who does radio in Houston, and he asked me this question. He said, did the Houston Texans make a mistake by not drafting Blake Bortles by not drafting Blake Bortles and taking Jadeveon Clowney? And I said, yes. And he was like, dadgummit, why did I have to hear that? I said, it's the truth. It's the truth. I mean, it's position of priority.
Yeah, don't ask the question.
You got to take it.
Don't ask the question if you don't want to hear
the
answer.
But he knew it. Jeez. I mean, he knew it. And Texans fans will always look to that draft, because Jadeveon Clowney will never be a great player in this league. I believe that, because of the injury that he had, where he had to have microfracture. Mm-hmm. That's it. He's not the same player anymore.
Peyton Manning retired. Osweiler in Houston. What does John Elway do now?
They're in the market right now. They're working hard. Word is they're trying to make a trade for Colin Kaepernick, maybe.
Now, if you're them, would you rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick, Colin Kaepernick, RG3, who else is out there? That could be out there, because, you know.
I would actually – who I'd take?
Yeah.
Where they are right now with that defense, I'd take Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's what I would do.
Because I think you can win with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
How are the Jets letting him go?
Now,
well, they're not letting him go.
They haven't paid him yet.
Right. They just haven't come to an agreement.
The flip side of that is, the interesting thing about Kaepernick is, with his athletic ability and the system that Gary Kubiak likes to run, with the naked bootlegs and moving the pocket, Kaepernick could be very, very interesting. And I'll say this, RG3, both those guys, athletic ability and what Kubiak's been able to do with a quarterback who can move.
Yeah, but you know the problem
Griffin's
with
not like what he was. Griffin doesn't run like he did. I mean,
he's still a 4-5 guy.
Yeah, but here's
even
the problem,
the
Tony. You got to remember,
he was like 4-3 JP.
Shanahan was RG3's coach.
Yeah, but they're not going to do. But he put the zone option. I mean, read option.
I know. I'm talking about Kubiak and Shanahan being pretty tight.
Oh, that's right.
And that you know the RG3 and Shanahan relationship
think it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's our. My guess is I would choose Fitzpatrick for where I have the defense at right now, if I'm Denver. But making a play for Kaepernick would be interesting to me because of Kubiak's offense.
In the division, DeMarco Murray traded to the Titans. A fit in Nashville?
I'm not going to judge him from last year, because it was such a disaster with what Chip Kelly was trying to do, and it was never a good fit. I said it from the start. Thought it was a mistake for him taking the little bit of more money to go to Philadelphia. He should have come here. with a system that fit him better. He's now going to go to a power running two tight end system with Mike Mularkey. He'll fit that better. I just don't know how good they are up front. I don't know if they can block.
Who did they sign? They signed a guard. Tennessee signed a guard. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but they signed a guard in free agency to, you know, and then many people expect them to take Tunsil first overall in the draft, and then that will give them the ability to maybe move
Tyler Lewan to right tackle.
Tyler Lewan to right tackle, which would be a good fit. He's physical, good run blocker, good player, had a good year last year.
Yep.
And they signed a center is who they signed, the Tennessee Titans, which is kind of surprising because they had
– the young guy who was hurt all last year.
Yeah.
Though.
Big physical guy. Maybe they move him to guard and create competition.
Ben Jones. Is
Ben Jones
signed.
From the Houston Texans.
Yep.
Finally, the Kansas City Chiefs lose two draft picks, and Andy Reid and John Dorsey both fined for tampering during the recruitment of Jeremy Maclin last year.
Well, what'd they do exactly, does it say? I've not heard.
Well, you're during the tampering period, the legal tampering period, you're not allowed to make contact with the player. You can make contact with the agent. It has been said that they made contact directly with Jeremy Maclin during the legal tampering period, which is a no-no. Now, the question is, will the Eagles receive the same punishment next year because of the signing of Chase Daniels from the Kansas City Chiefs? Because Peterson made some comments at the Combine about how great Chase Daniels is, which could be interpreted as tampering.
Could get interesting even further here, guys.
Oh, it will get interesting, JP.
Oh, it's interesting.
It already is.
For Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato, JP Shadrick. Talk to you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.